Let's just do this. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Music for me. Yeah, there we go. Yeah. There we go. And news according to me. Here we go, folks. No, I'm not going to do that to you. Boy, I'm sorry. Yesterday, I posted the day before's show. That's how far behind I am. Yesterday morning, posted Tuesday's show. There was no show yesterday. I was a no-show show. The show yesterday was a no-show. And I apologize for that, because I know how much some of you just hang on every, you know, with, yeah. If you can't get through a day without listening to this show, you may want to seek professional help, because that's just, you got a problem. And, that's the elephant in the room this morning. You get the problem. Obviously. So yesterday, a lot of things going on, but and of course Biden's speech was last night, and we'll talk about that. A lot of other things going on as well. Again, the news cycle is just full, and that's the way they like it, because they can hide things and shuffle things around and keep people confused with all the 15-second, 10-second sound bites. That's what the media runs on, those things. They know that the majority of the population, you know, listens to pop music, and I include, you know, any kind of popular music. Their whatever their top 10 are, they listen to their stuff all day, and for the most part, they don't. And they might hear a soundbite here or there, passing by something when they're walking down the street or walking down the hallway somewhere, or news, you know, in the airport or bus station. They get their news from the comedians at night. Supposedly, I use the word comedian very loosely there. But I know that the first thing we need to cover, and this is probably the most urgent, is what I have in my cup here. This morning, I'm going to shock some of you. I have peach mango V8. It's that time of year. I usually bring out the more refreshing, cool beverages in the summertime. It's 40 degrees outside, I think, but nonetheless, I'm declaring that it's spring or summer, something warmer, that winter's over, even though it's not giving up too easily. We had, I think, 84 or 85 degrees the other day. When was that? Was that Monday or Tuesday? Monday. What is today? Thursday? Must have been Tuesday. It was hot. And we're supposed to have some temperatures down in the 30s, I think, again. Days coming up. At least at night, anyway. In the 40s, you know, through today, tomorrow. Mostly. Wind is howling out of the north. And this evening, I don't believe there will be a show this evening. I'm trying to fit this one in real quick, because the rest of my day today, my night into tomorrow morning, probably leading into tomorrow evening, but possibly tomorrow evening, is possibility there may be a show tomorrow evening. There will not be a weekend show, so we'll have to see how that goes. And the reason for that is there's a very good reason. Let me give you the reason first, because I know you need to know, because you're hanging on every word here. I gotta put my phone on the charger here before I forget about it. Okay, there we go. I'm sure you're concerned about that. So we have this issue here. I've got a boat, and it has to be moved. I put it in a, I had to pull it out. Lake Michigan is kind of a seasonal lake for boating for most of us. And the earlier you can get it in the water, the more you feel like you're getting value out of the boat, because otherwise you're only using it about half a year. Whereas, you know, if you have it in Florida or someplace that's warm all the time, it's a better value. You can use it anytime. You can use it in January. You can't do that here. Oh, you can. You don't want to. So I'll be putting the boat in the water today if weather is favorable. I am probably going to be, it's going to be raining all day today until this afternoon. And then this evening, I was going to get up early tomorrow morning. I was going to stay on the boat tonight, get up early tomorrow morning, and sail the boat with howling winds out of the north. Probably seas in the 5 to 7 foot range. And sail it down to where I keep it. It's about a 60-mile sail. 60-mile trek across the lake. I think the water temperature at the lake, I think, is about 22 degrees right now. Something like that. Fahrenheit. I think it's probably in the 30s or 40s. It's probably 40s. I don't know. I don't know how it would be much more than 40 because temperatures haven't been much more than that. So it gets cold. It's going to be cold. And then the temperatures through the night and into tomorrow are basically in the mid-40s. And so I have my foul weather gear. Me and a friend of mine, we're going to do this little trek down there. And what I'm thinking about now is, because of the way the weather is going to be tomorrow, I'm actually considering leaving this evening and just kind of heading out into the abyss overnight for a few hours, watch the sun come up, and then show up at our destination when maybe about noon, I don't know, something like that. Probably before that, probably get down there relatively quickly, potentially. So that's happening, so pray for me. And because I'm insane. So the news, the big news in the news today is, of course, the big news yesterday morning was, and sometimes you have to wonder if this stuff isn't planned, because everybody knew that Biden was going to be doing his, you know, speech to the joint session of Congress today, or last night. And so that was going to be in the news. That was going to be the big news thing. So anything that happened during the day, everybody would forget about by the evening. One of the things that came out, a couple things came out during the day. One is Rudy Giuliani apparently is under investigation now, and they've actually raided his apartment. Raided his apartment. They had a warrant. Now think about this. This is Rudy Giuliani, former mayor of New York City, had his apartment raided because of the computer and the issues there with, I'm assuming the computer, one of the things he has on his computer. Now, this would be really rich if this happens. And this is, I would not be surprised with the corruption that is in our current state of our current state of corruption. If, you know, he had Hunter Biden's laptop, or at least a copy of the hard drive. And the whole thing with Ukraine, he was involved in trying to investigate what was going on between Hunter Biden and Ukraine. And, of course, that was all, you know, blown up, saying that Rudy committed crimes because he went over there and did all this stuff. So they have this thing going on with this investigation. I don't know what it's about. I don't know what the warrant was for. But I I believe it was because of the investigation that's going on with regard to Trump and Ukraine and Hunter Biden and the whole thing. Now, wouldn't it be rich if they found a hard drive with child pornography and all kinds of other criminal activity on it? That'll be in the news. But they probably will if that was where Hunter Biden's hard drive laptop was. Because that's what was on his hard drive. Criminal activity was on his hard drive. Now, I heard a report, and I don't know if this, I never investigated this to see if it was true, but I saw the headline. The headline said that Hunter Biden is going to be teaching a class in a university on fake news. I don't know if he's just going to be a speaker. I don't know if he's going to co-teach it. I haven't heard exactly what's going on there. I didn't even know the guy had a teaching degree. He probably does because his stepmother is a doctor in education. Former babysitter. So I don't know. I don't know what's going on with that. I really don't. I don't know if that's true or not. There's so much baloney going on. A lot of people saying things that aren't true. You know, so Biden's speech. I didn't get to hear it. At the time because I was really busy yesterday. So I didn't get to hear this thing, and apparently, he's just kind of running down. You know, here's the thing that gets me about this, and I always try to look back at the motivation or the foundational ideology that's behind what they're saying, because you can't just listen to what they say, because if what they say sounds, sometimes it's all painted up and sounds good. Sounds like they care. Sounds like, you know, we're gonna make this all better. We have the solution to help fix this crisis that we created. And it's really your fault, you know, that the crisis happened to begin with. It's all your fault. So we're gonna fix that for you. You just have to obey us. Comply. Because you screwed it all up by voting for them. Oh, did I say that? I don't think they said that. The real issue here, and I guess the underlying thing I see when I listen to these people speak, is that there's a hatred and disdain for our country. Let's just lay it on the line like that. It's just they don't. Anything that is about the establishment or founding of our nation has been vilified completely. They want to destroy any foundational remnants that may exist. And in fact, if you talk about the founding fathers or talk about the founding of the nation or the Constitution, it typically, at least with the leftists, they consider you a radical patriot. What a terrible thing. I would say Thomas Jefferson and some of the early founders would be considered radical patriots. There was a day when patriot wasn't a bad thing, you know. Now they say patriotism is paying more in taxes. That's patriotic. That's your patriotic duty to pay more in taxes. Yeah, that sounds like something that came right out of the founders' mouths. Now, it is, you know, it's our obligation to pay taxes. Okay, you got to pay them. We have representation, so we need to pay our taxes. The question is, how much representation do we really have now? And who's paying all these taxes and where are they all going? We also need to have accountability within that system. And I'm not sure that we have that anymore, because we have a bunch of people who figured out how to game the system and put more taxes on us and make it sound like it's a good thing. Because they can see, here's the dirty little secret about taxation. They can tax whenever they have the ability to tax. They also have the ability to give tax exemptions. For instance, General Electric went through several years where they paid zero taxes. Just recently. This was just back in within the last 10 years. I don't even know if they're paying taxes now. I'm not sure. Because they had government offsets of some kind. They did some kind of, because they were, the work they were doing alongside of, they got all kinds of tax incentives, which left the whole company basically paid $0 in taxes. Now, when I say that, I mean, you can't get to the point where you pay zero money in taxes. Okay. If you go to the gas station and buy gas for your car, you're paying taxes at that point. Now, if you're tax exempt, there are some taxes you can file. If you get your receipt, you can file back and get that taken off your income or whatever, you can get that return for that. But I'm getting into the weeds on that. That's not something that's, so they're probably, GE probably paid some taxes here and there. But basically, the corporate tax and all the other things that they got incentives for, they got out of that. Huge company. One of the largest companies in the country. And yet and that was all because of government interaction, or what I call crony capitalism, and which is what they use crony capitalism in the halls of academia. They talk about the capitalism and how evil it is. No, it's evil when it gets mixed up. It's one thing for government to regulate capitalism. In other words, to make sure that there's no antitrust, there's no that they break up businesses that are monopoly, that are becoming monopolies. That's one thing. When government gets involved in that, in enforcing fair trade, it's a very different thing when government gets involved in behind-the-scenes deals. When we have tax loopholes and things that are put into bills that will help out a particular company or sector of business in the country. Meanwhile, the people who are enacting this legislation, because it's public on the record, but we don't hear about it, but it's on the record in public because they were involved in the institution of that bill or that legislation, they base their stock market trades on that. That's how these people get rich. They not only the behind the scenes, underhanded lobbyist deals, it's also the money that they put in their portfolio. It's amazing how their portfolios change, days or weeks or hours before the news comes out about something that's going to change that sector of business. Happens a lot. And it doesn't just happen on their watch. It happens on, they let their brother know or their family know. Somebody in their family is running that show on the side, funding everything. And don't believe me? Look into Nancy Pelosi's children. Look into John Kerry's children. Look into, Joe Biden's children. And his brother, Bill Clinton, and his family. Hillary's family, if you want to call them that. The Clinton Foundation was a whole mess of stuff. Just went tentacles went everywhere. And then you have, all the people around them that are, funneling that money and doing things as well. It is Nothing but a cesspool, basically. And that's putting it lightly. I would say that the swamp is not really a swamp. It's more of a cesspool. It's more of a septic tank. And I think I would probably... There's probably less crud in a septic tank than there is in Washington. But that's... I digress. So Joe has this speech he comes out with. And I've heard everything from saying... I think Stephen Miller, I think he said it was like watching paint dry on an old house. Now, what was pathetic about it, I think that the thing that really makes it really pathetic is how, keep in mind, all these people have been vaccinated. Everybody in Congress now, as far as I know, I don't know if all of them got vaccinated. I don't know if they were required to get vaccinated or if they just, most of them did because they're, being politically expedient. So I don't know if they did or not, but I know most of them have been. So... Because of that, they're still wearing masks and they're still separating themselves by like 20 feet inside the building. So when Joe Biden walks in, you know how usually the president walks in and everybody's, it's just a mob of people and it's just, ladies and gentlemen, the president of the United States. So they're all walking in and everybody's clapping and everybody's, going nuts. And, Joe came in and there was nobody around. It's pretty empty shell of a building there. I think there was more people there during the January 6th insurrection. There were more people there. I'll just put it this way: there were fewer criminals in the building at that point. When Nancy starts calling everybody criminals, that's rich. I'm like my mama used to say, it takes one to know one. So, a very basic saying, but it pretty much applies to these people. So Joe's speech. And when you think about this thing, now I've heard bits and pieces of it, and I've heard some commentary on it. So I've heard the parts that were, other than when he's coughing and stammering around and saying stupid things. This was, I guess, in place of the State of the Union, I guess, because there was no State of the Union address yet. So I'm not sure. There probably won't be. This is just kind of like a weird speech. So he, if you pay close attention to what he was actually saying, he was running down the country and all the ways that the country is foundationally. What makes the country a unique or exceptional, the exception of other countries. And running all those things down, making it sound like it's a good thing for higher taxes and for all the other things that they're pushing. And then to turn that right around, he was vilifying things like the military and police officers. Now, at the same time he's vilifying the military, he's ramping up things in other countries where we're going to send our brave young women, young men and women. And I don't get that. I mean, we are now poised in several ways we're back on a hair trigger, if you want to call it that, with the world. And it's the media, of course, is just, it has become totally become Pravda. I mean, in with regard to just, it amazes me. Now, I don't know how many of you are old enough. How many of you listen to this that are old enough that you remember when we invaded Iraq? And I can't remember the guy's name. It was the propaganda guy for Saddam was on the street doing an interview while the U.S. troops were running around him, saying that there was no invasion. What you see is not what you're seeing. To the very end, this guy would just continue to say, and this it seems like that's exactly where we are with the media today. They keep saying what they now. What is amazing to me, though, too, is Chris Cuomo and I think even Don Lemon have actually come out with a couple of statements lately that just kind of blow me away. They have not carried the water with regard to masks and the crime that was stopped by a police officer in Ohio. I'm kind of shocked and amazed that they didn't go down that road. Now, Chris Cuomo actually called someone out on the mask thing, mask and social distancing thing. He was confronting, I can't remember who it was he was talking to, it was some kind of health official of some sort that was talking about the mask mandate thing and, you know, keeping the masks on and all that stuff, and he's kind of pushing back on it. And then you had the the shooting that, or the officer that shot the girl who was trying to stab another girl, and stopped that from happening. Now, who knows what the outcome of that would have been? This is where you get into, we don't know what would have happened. She was extremely out of control. Who knows whether she would have stopped or not. That knife, now you might think a knife is not that dangerous. I know a lot of guys, I've been involved in self-defense stuff for a long time. And there's a lot of people that I look up to in the world of self-defense and what they've been in actual, you know, hand-to-hand encounters. Some of them are police officers. And they know. One of the guys that was the head of our Taekwondo Association, he was actually the main guy. He was also on a SWAT team. And he carried a small knife. He wore it as it's like a little necklace type thing. He had a little thing where he could just pull it down. The knife was in his hand. He's very much aware of the fact that a knife will split you open very quickly. It is an extremely effective weapon. And if it's in the hands of somebody trained, oh my word. It's a brutal way to fight. But the battlefields of the days of old, there were reasons they fixed bayonets on the rifles. You think, well, you got a rifle, why don't you just shoot him? I don't want to get into the details of that too much, but the blade is an extremely effective weapon, and you don't know what's going to happen with regard to an amateur swinging one around who's enraged. She very well could have just gotten injured that day, and both of them would still be alive. She very well could have gotten killed that day, and someone else could have been killed as well. The officer could have been harmed. And, of course, they talk about just shooting her in the leg or just shooting a warning shot. Well, Don Lemon actually came out and said, that's not practical. In that situation, it just would not be practical. And every, you know, in every case scenario, like Joe Biden saying, just buy a double-barrel shotgun. Just take that shotgun and you fire two shots out the back window. That'll scare off whoever's there. I don't know what town he's living in. You know, that might work in the suburbs when there's like a couple 15-year-olds out there that are just causing mischief. or their TP in your place. That might work. We're talking home invasions. Aggravated robbery. Oh, wait. No, those are charges that George Floyd was arrested for. Served time for. Oh, but he turned his life around. He's just a gentle giant now. He's just trying to get his life straightened out, and he's a good guy now. He's our savior. Which is why he was passing off counterfeit bills. Now, I don't want to come. Maybe the guy was trying to straighten himself out. That's fine. And maybe he was seeking help and wasn't getting it. And that I believe. Because again, I don't know where he was looking for help at, or where he was trying to find help from. But I know that there's a lot of organizations out there that are pretty feckless when it comes to helping people like him. And he needed help. There's no question about it. I don't know where he was looking for help or what kind of help was offered to him. But apparently it was ineffective. See, and then there comes the issue that, I was wondering about this morning. I wonder how many people out there who are all upset about George Floyd having been killed. How many of them know how many people died in the riots that ensued afterwards? It's a controversial number, but it's been pretty well settled on that the riots caused 19 deaths. And nobody talks about those people. A lot of the most vehement supporters, passionate, impassioned people who talk about George Floyd and how we got justice for George. They talk about that and don't know the name of one single individual who was killed in the ensuing riots. See, it's not about justice for George. It's about vengeance against the system. And the way the system is being portrayed. Now, granted, there's problems, folks. There's problems everywhere. There's problems. There's bad cops. There's bad systemic issues in some places. There's prejudice and bigotry. And I would contend that there's prejudice and bigotry on both sides of the issues here. And what aggravates me is that we have to talk about this at all. Because it becomes this us and them thing. We always say they and us and them and my people and their people. And that's not what America was supposed to be. That's what we're striving to not be. And I believe that was the vision that Martin Luther King Jr. had. Was that we would rise up with a common vision. Not a vision to destroy America, but a vision to build up America and what it can be. Because of the founding, because of the things that we have with regard to individual rights and liberty. And knowing what it means to be a sovereign individual. Now, everybody, some of my religious friends balk at the word sovereign because we know that God is sovereign. Well, I agree. Yes, he is sovereign. It means he has the right to rule. God has also imparted to us a sovereignty. We also have the right to rule our lives. And then we submit that right to rule to him. Otherwise, we're just robots. We're just little brain-dead slaves. Think about this. I'll get into this a little bit this morning because it's a concept that I think we get lost on sometimes. And I know I struggle with this a lot of times. I'll be fighting with, you know, God, what do you want me to do? What's my calling? What do you want me to do today? What do you want me to, you know, the minutia of it is, you know, what am I supposed to be doing in this moment? But there's also the broader picture of what is my life's calling? What is my occupation? What is my, you know, what is my duty? What am I supposed to be doing? And we kind of wait around for God to, myself included, I fall into this a lot of times, waiting for God to do something, to show me the way, show me, you know, what you want me to do, you know, what do you want me to do? What am I supposed to be doing? And there's this, and that's okay. It's this wrestling. There's always this wrestling going on in that respect. And I think that's honorable to do that. Don't get me wrong. But at some point, there's also the, now think about this. God created the animals. Sorry, I bumped the microphone. Like all the animals that run around my house. I'm pretty sure he created our cat, but I'm not positive. I'm not sure where that came from, but he created animals, but he gave them instincts. And they just kind of react to their environment in the moment. Now, one might say we have instincts. This is getting into some heavy stuff here, but I'm not going to go too deep into that. However, we have choices. We can choose whether we're going to walk one way or another. We don't just react to our environment. We may do, but to some extent. But it's not, you know, we can still step back from that reaction and respond in a way with thinking and reasoning. Now, having said that, God has not made us to be robots simply to obey him like zombies. His objective is not to control us. His objective is for us to relinquish our will, so to speak, or I should say our selfishness, our selfish will, and place our lives in his hands in a sense that we make decisions based on his wisdom and his truth. So here's a little example of this. A friend of mine came and stopped by my shop one day. This is 10, 15 years ago, maybe more, I don't know. He stopped by and he said he was really struggling with these two jobs. He had two job offers. And he was trying to figure out which one God wanted him to take. And, you know, we were kind of struggling over this, and we prayed about it and stuff and talking about it. And it just became very clear to me that, you know, God was honored that he would ask him, you know, which one he wanted to take. It wasn't a bad thing. But there comes a point, and I think this happens, I think, in some situations with parents and children, as an example. But it's, he basically said, you know, we're trying to figure out which door to open, you know, kind of which door, because he had kind of a picture of these two doors. One, you know, one door would go this direction, the other door would go, very different jobs. And I basically said, you know, I think God's just telling you just to put your hand on the doorknob and you turn that doorknob open and you open the door. He's letting you make that decision. And the key here is that whichever door you go through, he's going through with you. It's not that if you pick one, oh, that's God's door. If you go through that door, you're going with God. If you go through that door, you're not going with God. that was not what God put before him. And it was a very eye-opening thing and a very freeing thing. And I think that's where you know, a parent, think about this. Some of you are parents. If your child is continually asking you, should I brush my teeth now? What should I do now? Should I put this shirt on or that shirt on? Should I put these shoes on? Should I tie my shoes? Which way should I tie my shoes? Should I eat candy now? Or should I just eat vegetables? Should I go to work? Should I not? Think about this. If every time your child made a decision, they had to confer with you. You know, at some point that child, you know, when they're little, that makes sense. As they grow up, you expect them to start doing things as a mature person would do. Formulating and making decisions based on, and maybe they're asking themselves, so what would my dad do in this situation? Or what would my mom say about this? Or my uncle or my grandpa? That's in your mind in terms of, I mean, that if you have good family ties, upbringing, a healthy, you know, not too dysfunctional family. There's no such thing as a functional family. So don't go there. Every family has dysfunction in it. Just a matter of how we cope and deal with it and work through those issues, because everybody's dysfunctional to some degree. Now, there's extreme dysfunction, and that's a problem. So think about it in that respect, in terms of being a more. Now, I'm not saying you should just disregard what God would say or disregard God in making your decisions and just, oh, now he wants me to make my own decisions. I'm on my own. No, that's not it at all either. Right, just a few months before my dad died, he was kind of recovering from serious surgery, and he didn't do this very often. Normally, he was busy, and I was busy. We talked, you know, about every other day or so, but not that often. But when he was recovering from surgery and stuff, going through rehab, and had kind of struggling with some of the things he was going through, he didn't have much else to do. There wasn't much else for him to do. So he would, I remember the first day this happened, it was kind of took me back a little bit because I wasn't used to it. But he called me up. He goes, well, what do you got planned for the day? And he just wanted to have a conversation about what I was going to do. And, you know, he wasn't calling me up to tell me what to do. He wasn't going to call me to give me any advice or anything. He was just wanted to find out what was going on. Just what's happening. Just wanted to be involved. Or, you know, he just wanted to know what was going on in my life, what I had planned. And I think sometimes that's, you know, we wake up going, God, what do you want me to do today? I think he's more interested in saying, what do you want to do today? Where's your heart at? Let's let your heart, you know, let's find out who you are today. And I'm not saying that, you know, this gets into that struggle of, you know, becoming legalistic and saying, well, I need to do this and this because that'll please God today. If you're doing things to add something to what Jesus already fulfilled, then you're not pleasing God at all. But if you're doing things that bring honor and glory, then that's what he wants. You know, and most of what you can do with that is just by being his hands and feet, serving others. I heard yesterday, this might have been on Rush. I can't remember the guy who took over for, or who was filling in. yesterday during the Rush Limbaugh show. He said something about, I think Martin Luther King actually Jr. may have said this. I'm not sure if he came up with this or if he just repeated this or if this was something that was actually his. I think this was actually something in his, one of his studies. He said, you'll never find happiness, you'll never find greater happiness than you will in helping others attain happiness. I probably just butchered that to death, but it's the basic gist of what he was saying was, you know, you truly will find happiness in your life and purpose in your life when you're helping other people find happiness. In other words, doing something for someone who just cannot do it for themselves or doesn't even have a way to pay you back for what you did, which is exactly what Scripture says. It's Jesus, exactly what Jesus said. And it's pretty profound, really. It probably says more about the way we're to live and what gives more honor to him than anything. So there you go. That's the show today. Hopefully you find that inspiring. And it's that sovereignty that we've been given, that ability to, you know, God will not even cross the line and make us obey him or make us serve him or make us receive him or what he did on the cross. He will not cross that line and make us do that. He is, because then we are nothing short of an animal. It's the reception of that and the ability to make that decision that he has handed us. And that's, I think the founders had a glimpse of that sovereignty of the human condition. That we were self-governed because of God's law being written on our heart. You see, they wanted freedom of religion, not freedom from religion, which is where we're kind of going with this today. The current situation is they want to abolish what they call the white man's religion. So keep that in mind. That's the founding of principles of our nation was based on this idea of personal liberty / sovereignty. And a lot of people don't get it. They want to be part of a group. Conformity to the group. Group think. Group. And actually collective salvation in many ways. By our own standards. We will raise up the standards of our own. Kind of every man doing what is right in his own eyes. Only it's a whole group of people doing right in what's their own eyes, and they'll all fall short of that. So I say all that to say this. The show is over because my cup is empty. At least it is now. So, as I said, tonight, probably no show tonight. Maybe no show tomorrow morning. Could be a show tomorrow afternoon, possibly, if I survive this trip. If I don't, then there's not going to be a show ever again. That's the way that works. And if there is, it's kind of freaky. So I bid you all adieu, and I hope you have a wonderful day. This is here on this April 29th at 8:13 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And thank you again for sharing this podcast, listening, subscribing. I really do appreciate it. And so God bless you all. Hope you have a great day, great weekend. Good night.